The Gospel according to St. Luke, the 3rd chapter.
Glory to the Lord.
In the 15th year of the reign of the Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was the governor of Judea, and Herod was the ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius was the ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill will be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." That's the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I'm going to invite the kids to come up. We have a nice crowd because we have a job to do today. I know a couple of you already have experience with this. Maybe all of you do, right? Did you see the Christmas tree?
Yeah.
You notice something missing there?
A cross.
You think the cross needs to go up there? What, do you think there's something else that ought to go on that? Should we just leave it like that?
Ornament.
Oh, the ornaments. I'm sorry. Yes, ornaments. Well, we have, see the ones that are up there? Those are called chrismons. And chrismons all tell a little bit of a story. Up there, there's a crown. What would the crown tell us?
Jesus.
Jesus is the, what is he? He's
the king.
The king. He's the king, yeah. And then there's one that has an X and an R. Those are the Greek letters for Christ, Jesus Christ. And then you have one with a cross in it, and a looks like a little gold halo. What would that symbolize?
An angel.
An angel, maybe. Yeah. An angel came and told the people about Jesus, didn't they? And then you have one over here with a rose on it. Who do you think is the rose? Jesus might be a rose too, kind of like a rose, something special. Yeah. Well, we have some more. Bring that up. Can you put that on the tree? All right. And then why don't you go up and go get one too? Okay. We might need some help. What's that one symbolize?
The cross.
And who would that symbolize? Jesus on the cross. Yeah. And this one here has, oh, another rose. All right, we may need some help up here. What's that one?
Star.
A star, and what's that tell us about? Where do we hear about a star in the story of Jesus? Yeah, where he was born, they had a star. And there's, years ago, probably about 50 years ago, there was a highway between Rockford, Illinois, and Galena. And it was really a rough, dangerous road. In fact, it was so dangerous that a group of citizens wanted the state to do something about it, so much that they put up a big billboard on just before you got onto this highway, which I think was Highway 20. The big billboard that said, "Caution, Highway 20 may be hazardous to your health." And it was right, it was, because the road was all broken up all the way to the end of that highway. There were potholes, and it was a narrow road, so that any time you met a truck, and there were lots of trucks on that road, you had to go over to the edge as far as you could, but there wasn't a what do you call it? Yeah, one of those. Yeah, and so it was just terribly dangerous. Well, when you got to the end of that highway, there was another big billboard that they put up that said, congratulations, you just survived Highway 20. Now, the thing was, when we went back the other way, we found out that those were two-sided signs, because on the back side of the one that congratulated you, there was one that said, caution, you're going on Highway 20 and it's dangerous. Well, anybody who's worked with roads or been around roads knows how dangerous it can be to prepare those roads and how long it takes. I was talking to Travis, who worked on some of the viaducts and the bridges in Albuquerque. I think he said something more than 20 of those had to be designed and built there. We had a road finished in front of our house when we were in Springfield, Missouri, and it took 3 months just to prepare the road. Roads were difficult to build after that. Well, in our readings today, we hear from two prophets. One of them is Isaiah, who talks about building a highway for our God. And then we hear about Malachi. Malachi tells us that God is preparing a messenger who will come. But he puts up a caution sign. It doesn't actually say caution. It just says, who can endure? Who can stand when this comes? This messenger is going to bring a message that will be like a refiner's fire. If you've ever seen silver or gold being melted down, and you see the dross, the impurities rise and they cast those off. That's what he's talking about. That's how that coming is going to be for all humankind. And he says it's like fuller soap. How many of you have used fuller soap? A few? Yeah, my grandparents, my grandmother did. But it's really, really caustic stuff that they could use to clean out the impurities in cloth. In fact, Malachi in one point says, Israel, you are a dirty rag, a filthy rag. You are a cesspool that needs to be cleaned out. And as much as you want this Messiah, this messenger to come, before he comes, that kind of cleansing is going to take place. Paul, in our second reading, says he is so thrilled with the people of Philippi because they have done some of that self-cleansing themselves. He gives God thanks for them, and he prays that when the day of the Lord comes, when messenger arrives, they will be pure and blameless in the sight of God. Now, in our gospel today, we read about Isaiah telling about how the one who is coming will be the messenger of the covenant. He will come, and he's writing to people who are in exile in Babylon. They have been there for 50 years. Many of the old-timers have died off, and all that are left are the children and grandchildren who are still longing, wanting to go home to Jerusalem, wanting to see their homeland again. And Isaiah writes a word of encouragement. It's both a word of encouragement and a word of caution. But the word of encouragement is that God is sending a messenger who will make the valley, raise the valleys up and put down mountains. Because what they are remembering, or their parents have told them, is that the way to Babylon was very dangerous. It needed a caution sign because many of them died on the way. It was a rough road. It was a crooked road. It was not a smooth road. It was a difficult road. And now they wanted to go home. And Isaiah says, and God will make that road flat and smooth and easy for you. But Isaiah is writing about more than just a physical road. He's writing about the road of their heart. And if you've ever watched a hill being carved away, sometimes the hill of our sins, the valley of our depressions, need to be straightened out and smooth. I wrote a song some years ago with that theme, because it's the theme that comes to us through John the Baptist. There's a voice in the wilderness crying, there's a voice in the wasteland proclaiming that the Father in heaven has heard us, that the one he has promised is here. Let us turn from the crooked and sinful, to repent and return to the Lord. Let us turn from the way that the world leads, to return to the way of the Lord. I come preaching and teaching repentance, and I wash you with water to cleanse you. But the one I proclaim comes with power to baptize with God's holy fire. Let us turn from the crooked and sinful, to repent and return to the Lord. Let us turn from the way that the world leads, to return to the way of the Lord. There's a voice in the wilderness crying, there's a voice in the wasteland proclaiming that the Father in heaven has heard us, that the one he has promised is here. Let us turn from the crooked and sinful, to repent and return to the Lord. Let us turn from the way that the world leads, to return to the way of the Lord. There are many people, leaders of the world who have this exalted opinion of themselves. Like during the medieval period, the Medici family, who built palaces and amassed fortunes at the cost of the little guy, the peasant, and wanted to hold them down so that they could get wealthier and wealthier. And yet, it wasn't they who made such a change in the world. It was a little boy by the name of Christopher sitting on a dock watching and looking across the ocean, who opened the world to a new world. Christopher Columbus. And we could go through history and see the same thing happening, because, you know, Herod was in this nice palace and the beautiful robes and having all the power, thinking he had more power than anybody there in Galilee. And yet, it was the guy he had beheaded who made the greatest change in the world when he announced the coming of the Son of God. So here we are in a world that seems so different and yet in so many ways is so much alike. Richard Foster has written a book called Celebration of Discipline. We have a copy in the library, so if you want to grab that, it's good. It talks about the various Christian disciplines. The first one that he talks about is meditation and the importance of giving ourselves time to meditate and listen for the voice of God. He said there are three things that our adversary capitalizes on and tries to foist upon us. One is noise, another is hurry, and the third is crowds. And he said if he can get those across to us, he's happy. And he celebrates. Because you see, we remember that John the Baptist spent much time in the wilderness meditating, and that's when he heard the voice of God calling him to introduce the Messiah. And is it any wonder that Jesus went off by himself many times where the quiet was to meditate and listen and commune with his Father? If we think about it, the world is full of noise. We hear bells ringing, some of them, some of them not. We hear whistles being blown. We hear multitudes of commercials telling us to buy, buy, buy. But Jesus tells us to prepare the way of the Lord in our hearts. The world wants us to hurry, hurry, hurry. Go, go, go. You got to get a lot done. In fact, I read someplace a cartoon about a young guy who was complaining that God had given him so much to do, and he was so far behind, he'd never die. Well, wish him luck. But that's the world's word. Hurry, 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 go, go, go. But the word of God tells us to slow down and remember the reason for this season. The world wants us not only to make noise and to be in a hurry, but to join the crowd. Go to the malls. Go to the shopping centers. Spend, spend, spend. Because the crowds will make you happy. But Jesus says instead, calm yourself. Come to the still, small point where every day, each day, we could take a few minutes to calm our minds and our hearts so that we can actually hear what Jesus has to say to us. Because the word Jesus gives us today and every day is, come to me, you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Come to me and receive me, and you will never hunger or thirst again. And that's the good news that we have today. Amen.
Amen.